can we end hunger in this world of ours?
That's an excellent question. There's a couple of perspectives you can take on that. And one is, you know, the biblical perspective that the poor will always be with us, and certainly seems to be the case. You know, that is frustrating on one hand, but it also gives us a chance to live and exercise our faith on the other. But on the it can end and should end kind of thing, you could also make the argument, and sometimes I do, that we've actually already solved hunger in this country. In this country, we just let it exist. When you consider that we waste more than enough food than is needed to feed every hungry person in this country, you know, how can you say hunger has not been solved? And we just let it exist. And, you know, our position is that the church is where the real solution is going to be. People of faith, living their faith, exercising their faith is what's going to end it, more so than governments or anything else. We think the government has a role and should play that role, absolutely. But, you know, when you consider that we've had years of trillion-dollar budgets, we could have ended hunger politically if we wanted to a long time ago. I have little hope that that's going to happen politically, if you will. I have great hope that if the church, the whole church, you know, us Methodists and the Baptists and the Presbyterians and everyone else, if we lived our faith, you know, we could certainly end hunger in this country.
To do that, part of that would be what we can do as individuals, but we also have to do a lot collectively, too.
That's right.
Do you see that as people of faith need to have an effect on the political system?
You know, it's kind of a political question. You know, my view is, and this may be my personal view, but is yes. And just because we are people of faith doesn't mean we don't cross the lines into the political arena, whether you run for office and try to do something about it, or whether, you know, you as a church or as a Christian, your views and your feelings about hunger, poverty, and those kind of things are in part a result of your faith. I mean, that's part of the perspective you have. That's part of the prism through which you look at all things in life. And politics is a part of life. So, yeah, I think so there.
To come up with some positive perspective on this in terms of what can be done, what is being done, what has been done. From your unique perspective, why don't you tell me a little bit about the scope of what Society of St. Andrew has done that makes a difference in feeding people?
Well, of course, and you know, Ken Horn may have talked about this as well when you had spoken to him previously, but this whole idea of saving excess produce and distributing it to the hungry was not what the organization started out to do. The organization was founded to go around and basically preach to people about our wasteful lifestyles. It was an accident or a God incident, however you want to look at it, that got us into saving fresh produce, highly nutritious food, and getting it to people that need it. That grew from absolutely nothing to where we've done close to 600 million pounds of it today, 29 years later. And at the time we started doing this, no one else in the country was doing it at all. And now other organizations have sprung up and captured on this idea, not only with just fresh produce, but with long shelf life item foods, America's Second Harvest, obviously. They also do a lot of produce. There's another organization called Gleaning for the World that does it with other stuff other than food, hospital beds, and things like that. So the impact from going from nothing to all these millions of pounds of food and 30,000 volunteers a year and still growing, as well as these other places that are doing similar things around the country, the impact has been big and broad.
One way in which this has been growing has been, as you said, the addition of more organizations that have said, this is a good idea, let's do this. What about Society of St. Andrew? Is it growing? Do you have more churches involved, more gleanings happening, more projects?
Absolutely. We grow each year in terms of, you know, the pure program, the pounds, the number of gleaning events, the number of volunteers. We have these things called, we call them potato drops or food drops, where we will bring a whole tractor trailer load of food into a church parking lot. And volunteers from that church and other churches in the area will just come and simply put it into bags, and we distribute it to local feeding agencies. That type of thing has grown tremendously. We've added gleaning networks into about 20 different states now. We have just this year opened a new office in Kansas City, Missouri, to expand what we're doing west of the Mississippi. We give food to all 48 contiguous states, but you know, most of what we've done so far has been east of the Mississippi River. There's plenty of hungry people and plenty of food on the west side of that river, and we've created an office to expand what we're doing there and to expand the involvement and participation of churches, Methodists and all denominations, focused on the western part of the country, which population-wise may not be as great as the eastern part of the country, but the poor people in those regions are harder to reach, so they need it just as bad as in the east. So, yeah, we're certainly growing, and we try to grow in a smart way, too. We don't get sidetracked into periphery programs. We stay focused on what we know and what we know how to do best, and in work with other agencies and networks that already exist to get the food to where it's needed.
Do you see a movement in American society? Is there any more or less acceptance of the idea? Is there any kind of a groundswell of support of any kind?
Well, you're really getting at what we think will solve it, and that is to make it a movement rather than just a, you know, a local cause in different areas. We would like to see it become a movement. I'm not sure it's there yet in a national sense. It certainly is in some sense in smaller regions, but making it a movement is what is needed. Now, one of the neat things about this country and Americans is that once they become aware of a problem and aware of the opportunity to deal with that problem, they want to do something about it. And that's exactly what Society of St. Andrew provides. We build awareness about hunger in this country. A lot of Americans, as you probably know, aren't aware that hunger is a problem, because hungry people in this country look like you and me. They don't look like people in famine areas of Ethiopia or the Sudan. So it's harder to see. Once they become aware that it does exist and that there's already this food that is available to feed them and that there's a way to get this food to them, they come on board pretty fast. They want to do something about it.
What kind of challenges or roadblocks do you run into as you look at your plan to move forward? What are the kind of things you have to work around or try to get past?
Well, some of the challenges, you know, obviously are costs like everything else. Most of our program costs involve packing and freight. All the produce is donated free to us, and we make sure it goes to people that receive it at no cost to them. But we have to put it in bags and boxes for shipping, and we have to ship it or freight it from where it's rejected or excess to where it's going to be used. And you know what's happened to fuel costs lately. So those are challenges or speed bumps. Over the last couple years, there certainly has been an impact from the ethanol situation. One example I'll give you is we get a lot of sweet potatoes and distribute those. Dog food companies used a lot of corn in their dog food products. A lot of that corn has shifted over to ethanol. The dog food companies have shifted over to sweet potatoes as a substitute for the corn they used to put in. That, of course, has had an effect for us. On the one hand, it's great for the farmer and the grower because there are new secondary markets available to them that weren't some years ago. But it makes it a challenge for us. There's still plenty of food wasted out there. We just have to continuously find new growers, new farmers, new produce donors, if you will. And so we work hard at doing that every year.
So the odd-shaped, funny-looking sweet potatoes you can't sell to people, dogs don't mind them a bit, huh?
They don't mind them a bit. And you know what? People don't mind them either when they're hungry. And you and I wouldn't mind them either. It's just that you just don't see that type of thing in the grocery store. It's a crazy thing, Mike, that you have this wonderful produce, whether it's potatoes or sweet potatoes or broccoli or cabbage, whatever. there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, except it just doesn't look like that perfect thing you and I see in the grocery store every day.
Yeah, that whole packaging appearance thing, which one are you going to buy?
You know, it even gets beyond that, and this gets back to kind of the lifestyle thing that Society of St. Andrew was really founded to get at, is if you think about, you and probably most people have grown tomatoes at home before, or maybe still do, and we all know that those tomatoes taste better than anything we get in the grocery store, and we are proud of them, we'll share them with our friends and all that, but you'll never see a tomato like that in a grocery store. All you see are these perfect round ones of the exact same color, supposed to be the perfect of the perfect. And yet when you and I go into the grocery store, very seldom will we just pick up the top tomato on that pile. We're still looking around the perfect of the perfect to get even the better ones. But that's the way we are. I mean, that is how much God has blessed this country and our society, to the extent that we can throw away more than enough food than is needed to feed every hungry person in this country. It's a wonderful blessing, but on the other hand, we think it's something that God just is not happy about. And we as Christians, as people of faith, ought to do something about it.
Tell me more about that faith conviction of what ought to be done and what ought not to be done. What else fits into that?
You know, on our logo is a shield. You've seen a picture of it, I'm sure. At the bottom are some little words that are written that are part of Scripture, very hard to read, but it's the words that basically say we are not called to love just in word, but in deed and in truth. And that's the faith part that is the essence of the Society of St. Andrew. Not just in word, but we want to love our brothers and sisters, especially those who are hungry, in deed and in truth. And when you do that, you do it not because you're doing good or you're not trying to do good. You know, anybody can do that. And a lot of people of no faith at all will do good and help feed the hungry. But for Christians, it's not a matter of doing good. It's a matter of living your faith, of being Christ to others. That's what we're about in this ministry.
In doing this work, you're focusing on certain areas of feeding people and helping them find ways to get out of poverty. Do you align yourself with other efforts? There are experimental crop work with seeds and trying to grow better crops. There are bioengineered ways of doing that. Other people with different kinds of expertise trying to find better ways to feed people. Do you fit into that? Is there a coalition of people trying to feed the world?
There are coalitions of hunger agencies, and we're certainly a part of some of those. Alliance to End Hunger, National Association of Hunger Organizations, for example, you know, and Bread for the World and other organizations like that are part of that. On the actual food side of things, we do partner with them. We do a lot of work with agricultural research stations at universities and colleges across the country that do a lot of this kind of experimental thing with different types of food. And a lot of it is food that can still be eaten. You know, if they're testing chemicals or something like that, obviously a different story. But a lot of times they're just trying different techniques and processes and things like that. And the food that is grown in these research stations is usually thrown away. They're not allowed to sell the food because they're not supposed to try and impact the market in that area, if you will. But our volunteers can go in there and pick up that food. And we do get a lot of food that way. We get involved into what's called the politics of food, if you will, but not at the extent where we're going to take a position one way or the other against genetic foods or, you know, genetic engineering of foods or that kind of thing. I mean, that type of thing has been going on since the time of Christ, you know, with grafting of fruit trees and that kind of thing in one form or another. What we believe and what we try to be about is using the bounty that God has given us to feed our brothers and sisters in need, just as He tells us to do. So we'll partner with pretty much anybody that has a part in this business, if you will, in the food business. sometimes it works really well, and sometimes it doesn't work out, and we'll move on to a different area.